Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Can't preach behind that. Your wood's wet, right? Amen. Well, it's a good day. It's a wonderful day. I know there's some folks that disagree with me, but I do like our clear windows. I like to just look out and see the glory of God, see the sunshine, and to know that even though it's cloudy out there, the sunshine's always shining in here. Amen? No matter what the weather is out there, the sunshine's always shining in here. In fact, I texted one of my friends in the low country this morning that thank God for the rain and for the showers, but thank God for the sun that was shining in my heart. Well, Ms. Lula, where are you at? Raise your hand, Ms. Lula. Stand up, Ms. Lula. Ms. Lula is my sweetheart. I wore this bow tie just for you today, Ms. Lula. You notice the colors. Just for Ms. Lula. Now, while she's standing, I want to tell you a story. 5 years ago today, I preached the first time in this church, supplying the pulpit, two Sundays in September, two in October, one in November, and two in December. Ms. Lula Edwards hung around at the back until everybody had left. Dale Tackett, who's gone to be with the Lord, came by me, and he said, I want you to know that you're to be our next pastor. I said, oh, really? Lord hadn't spoke to me, and I don't think he will. Not about that, because I had retired. I did not intend to go back in the pastorate. I was through with being a pastor. Not that I didn't love people, because I do love people. People are my very life. I enjoy being around people. I enjoy being with people. In the mouth of two or more witnesses shall every word be established. Amen? That's what the book says. The scripture says, okay? So that little lady hung around till everybody had left. And then she kind of casually shook my hand. And then she grabbed Miss Roma's hand and she said, you and I are going to pray that he becomes our pastor. So blame it on Miss Lula, okay? We love you. Thank you, Ms. Lula. Thank you for believing in God, and thank you for, I want you to know I fought that for a solid year. I didn't lie, but every time Tim French would come to me, chairman of the search committee, I'd say, I'm not interested. You will get a full-time pastor. I'm not called to be a full-time pastor. God hasn't released me from the Eddie Stowe Association. Well, guess what? Here we are. It's a wonderful day to be together. Good to see some of you that have been out for some time due to sickness and hospitalization and other things. Good to have you with us today. Good to have you back with us today. Good to have our guest with us today. We have begun a series on kingdom living, the principles of kingdom living. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand because Leon has actually used some of the text in our reading that we read earlier. So I'm going to let you just remain seated this morning, and I'm going to work down through these scriptures, and I don't know that we'll finish today's message today. We might not even finish it next week. I don't know. I'm not really that concerned about it. But anyway, let me just give a kind of an introduction. When you hear the word gospel, what do you think about? When you hear the word gospel, what kind of an impact does that have in your life? Now, confession. For a long time, the word gospel meant, and it does, that Christ died, that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose again. This is what Paul writes for 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But if we leave it at that, then that's exactly where we will stay in our growth and our maturity and our development as a child of God. We will remain a babe in Christ. We will remain immature in our faith. We will not grow up into our salvation. When Jesus talked about the gospel of the kingdom, he was talking about a way of life that began with salvation and completed the purpose in our lives when we went to be with Him when He comes, either in the rapture of the church or He comes to take us home with Him through the doorway of death. It was to be a progress of possessing that gospel in our lives to the point that it became transformational in the way that we lived, incarnational to the point that it changed us from the inside out, not from the outside in. In other words, not reformation. Please don't read and hear into what I'm not saying by the statement I'm about to make. The Reformation in the 1500s was great. The Reformation was good in the sense that it brought us back. It brought the church, it brought the household of faith back to some principles of justification by faith and faith alone. But it left us with a measuring stick, so to speak, a yardstick, a ruler, that if we kept certain things, if we did this, if we did that, if we had a checklist, then we were a good person. We were a good Christian. We were a good believer. We were a good child of God. And what it created in the church, in the bride of Christ, it created an element whereby we began to measure ourselves not by thus saith the word of the Lord, but by the way we looked at another individual. And we could always find somebody that did not measure up to where we were. Therefore, we were a better person because we were judging our growth and our maturity by the standards of someone else who we could always find was not quite where we were. We're all here this morning in a process of growth and a process of development. In chapter 4 of Matthew, take your Bibles and turn there with me, please. In chapter 4 of Matthew, in verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and sickness among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and those who were epileptics, and those who had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes. Now, if you'll notice, these multitudes came from everywhere he went, from Galilee, from Decapolis. Decapolis means an area of 50 cities, of 50 towns, 50 communities, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and then from Jordan. So the setting is that Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Well, then, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, people ask me from time to time, especially as we look at the world today and we see all the things that are happening on the scene, that they ask me from time to time, Pastor, Brother Johnny, Preacher, what do you think? Do you think we're close to the end? In Matthew 24 and verse 14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, and then shall the end come." In other words, we are in preparation for that future visible, literal kingdom that we are going to rule and reign in one day with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been promised to rule and reign with Him, and He has been promised, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 32 and following, to sit upon the throne of His father David and to rule forever and forever and forever. And so He comes to a place here in the mountain, and he's seated, and in verse 1 of chapter 5, and his disciples come unto him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, and last Sunday I really dwelt a lot on this verse, because in order for a person to enter the kingdom of heaven, remember, they must repent. Repent is a complete change of heart. It's a change of direction. It's my decision, in the sense that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am convicted of my lostness. I recognize my rejection of Jesus Christ. I understand that I have not invited Him to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be my Master, to be the leader of my life. It is a picture of those of us who will become destitute to the point that we recognize that apart from the Holy Spirit of God, which indwells and empowers and fills the believer, it is a picture of the destitute soul apart from themselves. And you and I must live with a spirit of being destitute. We must understand that apart from Christ, we are nothing. We are nothing. Nothing. We are born with a depraved nature. We are born in sin. We are conceived in iniquity. And therefore, we must repent. The message was in Matthew, according to John the Baptist, in chapter 3 and verse 2, and in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the same message Jesus preached, repent. And I don't want to belabor that point from last Sunday, but I want you to understand there is a gospel today of the kingdom that is floating around that is not preaching repentance. There's only one way to enter the kingdom of heaven, to enter the kingdom of God. And remember, I told you that Matthew is the only one of the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that uses the term the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven in a unison type of relationship. There are times when the kingdom of heaven is speaking emphatically about that time from Jesus' first advent until He comes again. That is the perspective that I want you to grasp this morning as we look at what He is beginning to say in this sermon, as He's beginning to teach these disciples. So it is necessary, it is absolutely essential that you understand that to live the kingdom life, to experience the kingdom life, you're destitute. You and I are destitute. We are totally dependent upon Him and Him alone for everything. In and of myself, I can do nothing. Apart from Him, the Scripture says, I can do nothing. Neither can you. And so then He comes to verse 4 and He says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning in the Scripture is a picture of brokenness. It is a picture of a heart-wrenching brokenness. I am broken. When you read Psalms 51, you understand that David was broken because of the sin with Bathsheba. He was broken. There is mourning for that sin in my life. And my friend, this morning, if you want to know that you're growing in the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, when and if you sin as a child of God, it ought to break you, and you ought to be mournful for that sin in your life. You ought to understand how it grieves the Holy Spirit of God and grieves God the Father and grieves the Son who's seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever lives to make intercession for you. And so there is that spirit of mourning. Mourning for our sins. Mourning for the world and the condition that is in. How long has it been since you shed tears over the sin that you see happening in the world? My friends, it ought to do something to you when a young father takes the lives of his five children and puts their bodies in garbage bags. It ought to grieve you to know that Satan has such control over an individual's life that they would commit such a dastardly act. It ought to break you on the inside. You ought to be weeping on the inside and crying out to God for His mercy and for His grace and for His salvation. Because you see, apart from God, man is depraved. Man could do some of the most ungodly deeds and ungodly acts that even animals themselves would not do, church. So you see, kingdom living is about the gospel, how that the gospel changes me initially, but it continually changes me For it is the power of God unto salvation unto all that believe. Then we come to that next verse, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The prideless, the humble. Our Sunday school lesson today in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2 said, Paul said that with all lowliness and meekness of mind and heart, we ought to walk worthy of that vocation to which we are called. Psalms chapter 22 and verse 26 says, turn there with me. You've got to read that. I don't have it marked. Give me a second to find it myself. Turn to Psalms 22, right before Psalms 23, by the way. 22 and verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. Hallelujah. The meek. Do you understand what happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sinned? They lost that which God had given them. What had God given to Adam? The entire dominion of the earth. Everything that was created for His good, for His well-being, for their good, for their well-being, for their growth, for their development, for their maturity. And isn't it amazing? God came to visit with them every day. You see, that's a picture of what God desires to do in my life and in your life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Now, how many of you are sitting out there this morning and waiting? You're in waiting status. You're living as a believer. You know you're saved. You know you're blood washed. You know you're blood bought. You know you're born again, but you're living in waiting status. This verse of Scripture to you is future. It's futuristic. That's the way you've always looked at it. I shall inherit. No. Let me tell you, it's now. Do you understand when Christ died on the cross? Listen to me. When Christ died on the cross, He died to remove the curse from all of that which was cursed because of initial sin. Well, guess what? He died to remove the curse from you and I so that you and I could live a victorious life, so that the gospel of the kingdom would become a reality in our lives. So guess how He wants you to live? He doesn't want you to live in waiting status. He wants you to live in eager anticipation. God, what have you got for me today? What do you want to do in my life today? And this is not a prosperity gospel I'm preaching here this morning. This is the biblical truth. He wants you to know that when He died on the cross, He died to remove the curse. Blessed are the prideless, blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God wants to bless you. Yes, He does. And I know that sounds a little strange coming from a Baptist preacher this morning telling you that, but He does. He wants to bless you. He wants to fill your life with His goodness. Or either Jesus lied in John 10:10. He said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it halfway, partway, 75%. I'm come that they might have life and have it how? Say it, church. Abundantly. Is that now or in the future? I want you to know I'm a living, I'm alive, I'm a living this morning. I am a living this morning. I'm alive this morning. I'm living right now. He's not talking about something out in the future. Stop living in the future. Start living in the now. Start standing on the inerrant, infallible Word of God that is truth without any mixture of error, and that will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do and bring forth that which is pleasing unto Him and will not return void, church. The here and the now. Right now. Don't let Satan rob you of the blessings that God wants to give you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When God created the garden, He made everything that He made perfect. He took a perfect man and a perfect woman, and He put them in that garden. And guess what He said to them? It's all yours. I want you to have dominion over the fish of the sea. I want you to have dominion over the fowl of the air. I want you to have rule and authority. I want you to be able to be in position to control and to have and to enjoy and to experience. Well, Satan's not omniscient, but he's pretty smart. He's not a dumb bunny. So if you were Satan, what is the very first thing you would try to do then? You would come to man and you would say to him, has God really said that you can have all of this, but not this? And you remember the answer that Eve gave to the serpent. You remember, even she said, God didn't say anything about not touching it. He said, don't eat it. But everything else you can have. You see, God intended for Adam to experience it then, not in the future. Now, are you sitting here this morning and living as a futuristic Christian, or are you living in the here and now? Are you taking God at His word now, or are you waiting for it to happen later? Is it pie in the sky to you that hopefully one day, preacher, I'm just working to get there. Well, bless your pea-picking heart. I'm not working to get anywhere. It's already sealed and delivered in my behalf because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we sang about this morning, church. It's my inheritance. It's your inheritance. Start living it now. And let the enemy understand he's not in control of that which Christ has redeemed. He has no authority in your life or my life. He is a defeated enemy. And just remind him, according to the Word of God, who he is and where his place is in your life. Start ruling now. Remember, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, I skipped one. I didn't. My glasses are fogging up on me this morning. I'm sorry. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Ooh-wee. I told Jeannie this week, Baptists are scared of two things. Sometimes I think they're scared of water. But Baptists are scared of two things. Baptists are scared of the Holy Spirit. You see, because there's a lot out there that mislabels the Holy Spirit of God. And you see, Baptists want to be sure they're right. So they don't want to go over there to that. This is just an illustration, not that the piano I'm Mary, okay? But they don't want to go over there to that extreme. And so they're a little afraid. Oh, I don't know what the Holy Spirit might do. Whew, I better be careful. So they're a little afraid of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know that's a command? Did you know that's an absolute? Did you know God wants you to be filled with His Spirit? Did you know God desires you to be filled with His Spirit? You know why? So you can rule and reign. So you can have power and authority in Jesus' name. Over all that you face, over all that the enemy brings into your life, He wants you to be filled with the Spirit of God. He wants you to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Paul said, be filled. Filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, you know a drunk person because of the way they act. They are inebriated. You can smell it. You can almost taste it. And they're easy to distinguish. Well, you and I ought to be easy to distinguish when we are filled with the Spirit. Blessed are you who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Whose righteousness? Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. I cannot do one thing to earn God's favor. Neither can you. Jesus Christ was the perfect man. Lived, was tempted in all points as I am, yet without sin, the Scripture says, and He went to the cross and He shed His righteous blood that I might be cleansed completely of all of my sin, blotted out in the sea as far as the sea is east is from the west, and buried in His sea of forgetfulness, never to remember against me again. Jesus Christ is my righteousness, Paul said. He is my righteousness. So guess what? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. You see, listen to me. Every time I sin, and I want you to know your pastor does. Just ask Miss Roma. I want you to know sometimes that old flesh will raise its ugly head and I'm telling you. We live in a world, we live in a broken world, we live in a fallen world, and Satan will do anything he can to trip us up, and he knows where every one of us, our weakest point is. He does know that, and that's the area he's going to attack you in. But listen to me, hallelujah, praise to God. When and if I do sin, if I confess it, He immediately cleanses me by the, no wonder the Scripture says, and the blood of Christ continually cleanses me. Ooh, that'll make a Baptist shout. Yes, continually cleanses me. I'm a fur ways from being perfect yet. One day I shall be. I want you to know that. I'll have jet black wavy hair with a duck tail in the back. I'll have all my teeth. I'll have good hearing. I'll have good eyesight. I won't have any aches or pains. I'll have a body fashioned like the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I need to let you all see that picture one time when I did have black hair. Filled. You shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Whew, I like that. You've heard me talk about Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. You've heard me talk about Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. You've heard me talk about Romans chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. God has given mercy to us that we might give mercy to others. That mercy is renewed every morning, as fresh as the dew. Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not revenge. Well, preacher, you just don't understand what they did to me. Preacher, you just don't understand what they said about me. Preacher, you just don't understand how they acted towards me. So what? Get over it. Grow up. Get beyond it. Show them mercy. Show them what you got that you didn't deserve. Love your enemies. Pray for them who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Who, you want to experience kingdom living? You want your prayers answered? Who? God will open up the windows of heaven and He'll pour out a blessing on you that you can't receive when you tithe. Oh, that's not in there. Yeah, it is. What has God given you? What has God shown you? Oh, but I guess you deserved it all. I guess you're kind of like I was one time, Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 says, be ye holy. Look at that next verse, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. You want to see God? You want to see God? This is absolutely amazing to me. You remember in the Old Testament, nobody could look upon God and live? You remember that? You remember God only showed Moses His backside? You remember that? Come on, y'all. You remember that, don't you? Yeah, sure you do. I mean, some of you look pretty smart. I love you. Well, guess what? You want to see God? Keep that heart pure. Start living with purity. Guard your thoughts. Guard your eyes. Guard your tongue. Guard your ears. Guard it with all you that you are. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. You remember the story about the little monkeys? Me see nothing, me know nothing, me hear nothing. Y'all didn't hear that story growing up? One of our teachers says she did. Sometimes, sometimes people ask me, well, preacher, blah, 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 what about this? What about that? I say, wait a minute, I didn't ask them. I didn't go there. I don't need to know all the details. I don't want to know all the details. I don't want that stuff in my mind. I don't want Satan to mess with my mind. I don't want all those thoughts up there. I don't want him to have a party up here and to cause me to start thinking things I shouldn't be thinking. So I have to be careful what I hear, what I listen to. I have to be careful what I see. I have to be careful what I say. I have to be careful where I go. I have to be careful what I do. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God now. God will be manifested in your life in such a way that you have never had that possible to happen before, because all of a sudden, that temple becomes clean and pure, and the Holy Spirit can live in that temple. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father above. How many of you heard that? Sure you have. We sang it as a child, didn't we? We grew up around it, didn't we? But somehow when we get to be adults, it doesn't apply anymore. Uh-oh. See, I've stopped preaching now and gone to meddling. See, somehow, I'm grown up now. I can handle those things. You can't handle it as good now as you could when you was a child. Did you know children can get over malice quicker than adults can? That's what Paul said. Paul said, in regard to malice, be as children. You know why? Children can get down there playing together and have a little fight and fuss and directly they're back playing together again. But let adults get down there playing together and have a little fuss, and that one goes out that door, and that one goes out that door, and one goes out that door. Isn't that the way we do one another? Sure it is. I'm telling you the truth. You know that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God? Guard your eyes. Guard your ears. Guard your mouth. Guard where your feet take you. Guard what you listen to. Oh, listen to me. There's some stuff out there you shouldn't even have. You know why? Because you can never erase it. Once you see it, you can never erase it. You can never erase it. Let me just stop and say something here to you men in this congregation. You young men in this congregation. That's why pornography is so addictive. Because it appeals to the flesh, the mind, in such a way. And once you look at that picture, once you view that film, you can never erase it. And you can be driving down the road one day, listen to me. So don't ever go there. And if you've gone there, get away from there. If you want to live the victorious Christian life, if you want to see God, guard your eyes with all of your heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I love that. Paul said in Romans 12, 18, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'm going to tell you a true story. Not anything to tell you wasn't true, but this is a true story. It's about me. The pastor that ordained me said to me, this is what he said to me. Listen to me, and I want to ask you the question. I'm asking you the question. The pastor that ordained me said to me, he said, Johnny, he said, God has blessed you. You are a peacemaker. And you'll go a long way in his ministry because you're a peacemaker. Not peace at any price. But you remember what I tell you all the time? I'm not coming to a pity party. Don't invite me. I'm not coming to a gossip party. Don't invite me. I'm not going to listen to it. And if you start it, I'm going to be knocking on your front door, along with a few deacons. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men, not just believers. Did you see that? Not just believers, with all men. What was the word that Jesus spoke every time he walked into the room where the disciples were at? Peace. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace. Peace. No wonder we are commanded in Psalms 122 to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, church. God values peace. And the cross tells you how much God values peace. When we were enemies of God, he sought to reconcile us and make us one through the cross and the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Glory to his name, church. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look up here and let me tell you something quickly. You're going to be fussed at. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be belittled. People are going to talk about you. People are going to criticize you. People are going to find fault with you. People are going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. You've heard the old saying, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. If you can't take persecution, don't call yourself a Christian. People are going to criticize you. People are going to do everything they can to destroy your ministry. People are going to do everything they can to tear you down. Remember, it's not those people. Remember, it's Satan using those people. Remember, some of them are even ignorant to it. Remember, some of them don't even know what they're really doing. Remember, some of them are just totally ignorant to what they're allowing to happen in their life. You're going to face disappointment. You're going to deal with discouragement. And yes, there are times in your life where you're going to have to wonder, where is God in all of the midst of this? God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? I don't deserve this. I've been in the church every time the doors was open. God, I've tithed. I've given an offering. God, I've taught Sunday school. I've been a deacon. God, I've done all. God, listen to me. He said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. If you're going to be a follower of him, you're going to have a cross. You're going to have a cross. You see, kingdom living is about a cross. And that cross is about dying to yourself and living for somebody else. It's not my life. It's his life. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is not your own, but his. You see, you don't own yourself. You no longer belong to yourself. You have been bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Oh, listen to me this morning. You're going to be persecuted. Oh. But rejoice.
but rejoice.
You know why I love about the book of Philippians? The word sin or sin is not even mentioned in the book of Philippians. You know what the theme of the book of Philippians is? You know where Paul wrote the book of Philippians from? Any of you know where he wrote it from? It started in the jail. Anybody didn't deserve to go to jail, Paul didn't. In my opinion. In the jail. Midnight. He and Silas are down there singing. They're not having a pity party. They're not hating the world and everybody in the world because they're in prison. They're singing. You know, there's something about the praise of God from God's people, Leon. There's something about when you just start praising God. Now would you all, would you play with me just a minute here? I'm getting to the end, okay? I'm getting to the stopping point, okay? Because I know that the mind can only endure what the seat will allow. Raise your hands. Raise them higher. Raise them as high as you can. Just raise them. Come on, play with me. That's right. All right. Now for just a minute, just wave just a few minutes. And just say this verse with me, okay? Just say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Let's say it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. And you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. The gates of the prison did what? Swung open. And they were delivered. Rejoice! And be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Any of you any better than Elijah? Any of you any better than Daniel, Hosea, Micah, Amos, Obadiah, Habakkuk, Malachi, Zechariah, Ezekiel, Moses, Jesus? He was a prophet. He is a priest. And he's coming again to fulfill that third role. King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen to me, this church. How many military people we have in the service this morning? Retired or former military? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. High. Raise them high. Raise them high. What does OJT stand for? Say it. On the job training. That's what you're in. On the job training. You're being prepared to rule and reign one day with Him. He's promised you that, church. That you're going to rule and reign with Him throughout the ages of eternity. What's 70 years here? 70, maybe 80, of preparation to rule and reign one day with Him. On the job training. Now listen to me. He wants to prepare you for greatness. He that is faithful in that which is least, I will make ruler over that which is much. Kingdom living. Now, let me tell you something, and I'm going to let you go, okay? Seriously. Promise. I said something about tithing a while ago. Leon and I forgot the offering last Sunday. I honestly didn't think anything about it till Gordon walked up here and shook his envelope in front of me like that. And I want you to know that your giving is between you and God.
And that ought to tell you, you don't have a money-hungry pastor or a money-hungry worship leader. Go ahead, answer that. Hello? Years ago, do you all remember the watches that you could set and they would ding? I was preaching away. I was waxing eloquent at First Calvary. And there was a person sitting in the choir behind me. And his watch went off one Sunday morning. And I mean, he couldn't get it to shut off. And you feel like, I mean, you feel about that small, don't you? Yeah, you do. Laugh at it. That's what I do. Laugh at it. That shows you you're still human. Very much human. We all are, okay? But listen to me. Did you know, listen to me, that giving is a direct indication of where your heart's at? Now, let me explain it to you, and I'm through. It is the only place in the Scripture, check me out, where God promises you, if you will do what you're supposed to do, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you can't receive. So guess what you do when you fail to give? You rob God. That's what the Scripture says. You rob God. But then you turn around and rob yourself of what God wants to do in your life. I want to challenge you this morning. As I close this message, I want to challenge you. I challenged you to raise $100,000 and you raised it in 99 days. I want to challenge you this morning to let's pay this off in 5 years. Remember, I said, if you will increase your giving by 20%, if you're giving a dollar, give a dollar 20. If you're giving 10, figure it out. If you're giving 15, figure it out. Whatever you're giving, increase it. Luke 6:36 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, I want to tell you this, no brag, just a fact. To God be the glory. Rome and I have practiced that from the day we got married. And I want to tell you, church, it's a part of kingdom living. Because where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And if your heart, listen to me, if your heart is wrong in that area, and that's between you and God, if your heart is wrong in that area, until you get that area settled, I promise you, God cannot and will not bless you as He desires to do. So I challenge you this morning. I challenge you. It has nothing to do with me. One of these days, I'm going to be gone from here, either through the rapture, the doorway of death, or I'll just have to retire. Amen.